Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, September the 8th, 2023. 16 minutes past the hour, and we've got a great morning here on WWGH Radio ahead of you. We have got Pastor Whitaker will join us at 9:15 this morning, and then we've got Matt Morgan and Sean Kraft, 10:15 to 11 a.m., and then we've got Pastor Craig from 11:15 to 12, and then the Exchange Club today from 12:15 to 1, Pastor Craig, Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan, and myself, and we'll be back live tonight for the big Friday Night Live show, 8:15 to 10 p.m., Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, and myself. A day full of fun here, a wet day here in Central Ohio, as the Popcorn Festival goes on in downtown Marion. Now, we're kicking off the morning for the first 10 minutes this morning with something I really enjoy doing, because as many of you know, last week was the kickoff of the Ohio State football season. And it was not a home game for the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Buckeyes went to Indiana and defeated Indiana 23-3. Now, last week we had our dear friend, he goes way back with us nearly 20 years now, OSU superfan Buckeye guy, with us talking about the season opener. And we knew we had to have him back this week because this week is the home opener, the first game in Columbus for the Ohio State Buckeyes, in which they will play Youngstown State. So we want to talk a little bit about last week's game and talk about what's coming up tomorrow with our pal, OSU superfan Buckeye guy. Buckeye guy, how are you?
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingles all the way. Scott Spears, it's Christmas Eve, man.
Now,
it's the OSU home opener.
Now, I got to ask you, Buckeye guy, is it more Christmas Eve this week than last week, even though it was the first game because it's the home opener?
Absolutely. It's here in Columbus, Ohio. It's in the shoe. It's in the legendary horseshoe. The crowds will be there. The team will be there marching in. It's the pageantry.
Now, how many home openers as Buckeye guy is this for you?
Oh, nobody can even understand or fathom how many it's been. We're happy to be here tomorrow. And you know what, man? It's just like a great, you know, bottle of wine. Nobody knows how many years it's been getting together, but it's all ready to come to fruition
now,
tomorrow.
Now, we got to talk about last week's game here, Buckeye guy, before we get to the big home opener. Last week, you were there in Indiana. The Ohio State Buckeyes defeated Indiana 23-3. Now, prior to that game, you and I talked, and you said because of the bowl game loss last year on New Year's Eve and the second year losing to Michigan at home, one away, one at home, that the Buckeyes really needed to come out because they were heavily favored over Indiana. I believe it was over 50 points last week. They only won that game by 20 points. What happened? What did you observe?
We're certainly excited about a conference foe. We're certainly excited about beating a conference foe by 20 points. We're more excited about the defense holding them only to 3 points.
Why do you think the point spread wasn't bigger, as we had talked about last Friday, that 40 points would have been nice and maybe expected?
You know what, man? C.J. Stroud is down there with the Houston Texans right now. C.J. Stroud was the highest drafted quarterback from the Ohio State University. He's not here anymore. It's hard to replace somebody like that.
Is that going to make for a rough season altogether for the Buckeyes?
I certainly hope not. But you know what? Whatever wrinkles we need to iron out, I think it's time to do it now because we got some big games ahead of us.
As we head into Youngstown State, of course the Ohio State Buckeyes are still favored by 40 points, not as heavily favored as they were last week. What's this game look like?
Listen, you got to remember the history of this game. Our great coach, Jim Trussell, came from Youngstown State. it seems like some 30 years ago, but it's actually only been 23. I'm telling you, man, he changed the trajectory of the entire football program when he walked on campus.
Do you think there is a possibility after last week's score and knowing that the Ohio State roster has changed that Youngstown State could win this game?
It's always a possibility because we start the game at 0-0. But the probability of that happening is close to zero. I think we'll go out today and take care, tomorrow, and take care of our business. We need to go ahead and rev the engine a bit and stretch our legs and see what in the heck we can do.
What does Ohio State need to do in this game? Last week you said they needed to do 40 points. What do they need to do tomorrow?
Looks like our running game is back on track. We've got our running backs back. Our running backs have been, injured as of last year. We certainly could have used them, but now that they're back, let's go ahead and do that. And then I think this young kid, Cal McCourt, could work very well on the play action pass.
So the point spread this week you think will be what?
Oh, I don't know, because here are the aforementioned Jim Trussell. He wouldn't mind beating you by 1, 2, or 3 points, because back then a win was a win. Now, 23 years later, it seems so much more emphasis on the point spread. When he was there, he once said the punt was the most important play of the game.
You know, Buckeye guy, I think one of the reasons we are looking at these point spreads and expecting Ohio State to win by large margins is because of the two losses to Michigan, the loss in the bowl game last year, and we're thinking if they can't beat teams like Indiana by more than 20, and Youngstown State is up in the air where they're favored by more than 40 points, that when they play a team that they're almost on par with, that this is going to be a problem.
Well, you know what, man? Here's the time, like we aforementioned, to iron out all of that stuff. And we used to have some great irons here in the Chubb household, and they used to have the component that you could press steam. Once you put a little steam on that white press shirt, boy, oh boy, it was always a great shirt to wear. We need to put the steam on tomorrow in the shoe.
Two quick questions here, Buckeye guy. And just because, as you mentioned with Jim Trussell, being from Youngstown State, and then, of course, the president there for quite a while, until recently, Woody Hayes, it goes back to, really, Jim Brown. We've got Jim Brown. We've got Woody Hayes. We've got Coach Cooper. We've got Earl Bruce. We've got Jim Trussell. We have Luke Fickell in there for a year. We have Urban Meyer. And now we've got Ryan Day. And whether it's good or whether it's bad, the coaches are paid a very good salary, and because of that, wins and losses do fall on the coach, maybe even more than the players. And because Ohio State has had such strong seasons under Jim Trussell, under Luke Fickell they were not bad. Certainly under Urban Meyer they were not bad, and now we've got Ryan Day, two losses to Michigan, albeit Michigan is a better team than they were under Trussell and under Urban Meyer. A 20-point win over Indiana and the bowl game loss last year. There's a lot of pressure on Ryan Day right now. What does he need to do? I got an email last week after that game where he only won by 20 points by a pretty avid OSU fan saying he needs to get his resume out if this does not get better.
The aforementioned men that you talked about, Jim Trussell, Woody Hayes, and the great Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer was 7-0 against that team up north. Jim Trussell came out on a random basketball game and said 300 some odd days, you'll be proud of your young men on and off of the court. And he went out and proved it year in and year out. Now it's time for Ryan Day to go ahead and straighten this thing out. Now don't forget, he's beaten them one time. A lot of people don't realize and remember that Ryan Day is only 1-2. So he's not 0-3. 0-3 would be bad. 1-2 is a lot better than 0-3. He needs to right the ship in November up there in Ann Arbor this year. Now, we're getting ahead of ourselves, Scott. We ought to be talking about Youngstown State.
Well, right, and I'm...
As fans, we get to peek ahead every now and again, and so sometimes do the players.
Oh, absolutely, and I think concentrating on Michigan right now would not be the best thing to do, and they have another great team this year. But what I'm saying is, should before Michigan happen, Thanksgiving time, should a loss happen to any of these teams, Youngstown State, anywhere, the blame will be on Ryan Day. If he loses any of these games prior to Michigan, forget Michigan right now, is his hindquarters going to be in a frying pan?
Man, down by the Olentangy, it seems the water runs a little warm there. It's almost boiling. We need to run the table and try to get back in the national contingency and get back in the Final Four, because, you know, hey, we need the best four teams in the world to be Ohio State, to have an opportunity, just like we did last year and the year before, to play for a national championship.
Final question for you this morning, Buckeye guy. What's the prediction for tomorrow? OSU, Youngstown State.
Here it is. I believe we get our act together. It's going to be the Ohio State University. 49 points. Youngstown State, 10.
39 points, so you're going again for the 40-point spread.
Absolutely. We're getting up there. It'll be right at it. I'll tell you, it's going to be crazy. Madhouse, the team marching over. It's going to be the skull session. It's going to be the team. It's going to be the crowd. Listen, we need something to happen today in that beautiful place called the Shoe.
Well, and before we part, do you do anything special before the opening home game? Any ritual?
No, absolutely. You got to get down there early. You got to go tailgate. You got to make sure you stop by the Varsity Club to say hello to everybody, all the great patrons. You know, the skull session is such a high honor. And to watch the band march over. And now the football team marches over as well. So you got to get down there early, man. It's going to be a great, great day. And I hope to see you down there too, Scott.
Beautiful. First game of the season. Buckeye Guy's official prediction, Ohio State Buckeyes 49, Youngstown State 10. Buckeye Guy, I'm always in your debt for calling in. Thank you so much, and have a great home opener.
Go Bucks! Oh, wait!
I-O! All right, there we go. Buckeye Guy's official prediction for the Ohio State home opener tomorrow, 49 points OSU, Youngstown State 10. Now, I'll bring Sean Kraft in on this, who watched the game last week as well and saw what transpired. I think everybody thought that, because Indiana's not as good as Youngstown State, not that Youngstown State is a great football team, but Indiana certainly was not as good as Youngstown State. They only won that game by 20. What happened last week?
I don't think Buckeyes really showed up.
And it was the first game of the season. You think they'd want to, even though it wasn't a home game,
yeah,
they'd want to come roaring out of those two losses last year.
Yeah, it was such a boring game altogether. It acted like they didn't even show up. That's what it acted like to me. Because, you know, we have such a good offense. And our defense saved us a little bit last week. But we need to step up to the game.
Now, as we show up tomorrow, now again, they're still favored by 40 points over Youngstown State. They're a heavy favorite, but they were favored by more over Indiana and only won that game by 20 points. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow? Now, it is the first home game, and I know there's a lot of pressure in that. So what do you think?
I'm going to have to agree with the Buckeye guy, not on the score. I disagree on the score, but I think, the first home game, you know, all our crowd and the fans are there cheering on, you know, the louder the horseshoe goes, the better they play. But I think it's probably going to be close around the same score as last week.
I mean, I think Youngstown State, I mean, you never say never, they could win. It's highly unlikely that they will, but If they should, for Ohio State's opening game at home, and after those losses last year, I think Ryan Day's butt is going to be in a frying pan.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be with grease in it, you know? It's going to be, he's got to watch his rear end, that's for sure.
With as good as Michigan is favored this year, and as good as they have been the last 2 years to beat Ohio State in Michigan and in Columbus, that if you can only beat Indiana by 20 points, that does not look good.
It doesn't. And you know, some of like a Buckeye guy, what he was saying as well, we know some of our players were injured and they're coming back. So that's going to help us as well because we lost some of our key players. But I think the score is going to be a little bit higher, but it's going to be similar, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, I understand. And so again, Buckeye guy's official WGH talk prediction, 49 Ohio State, 10 Youngstown State. And we'll ask Pastor Craig and Matt about that later on this morning, but we thank Buckeye Guy for opening up the program. Popcorn festivals in full swing in downtown Marion. But I'll tell you something, yesterday was not the best day to open up the popcorn festival. It rained all afternoon, and then it rained last night. The streets are still wet, and, you know, I did not see a whole lot of pictures from the parade or anything last night. Did you?
No, I did, but I knew some people that went there, and they said it was a lot of gaps.
Well,
we have problems with gaps, I guess.
Well, apparently that's everywhere.
Yeah.
A lot of gaps. Well, I mean, was there anything in the parade of note?
No, not really. I spoke to them. They really was not impressed with it.
Who was the Grand Marshal? I always ask this every year, and we never know.
Yeah. That I don't know.
It used to be, we all used to know who the Grand Marshal was, and now we never know.
Yeah.
If anybody knows who the Grand Marshal was, or if you went to the parade, what'd you think of it? Give us a buzz. We're here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What did you think of the parade last night, if you attended? And who was the Grand Marshal, if you attended the parade last night? Did you even see a Grand Marshal? 740-383-9944. Now, tonight is probably the biggest entertainment night. Colin Ray, a legendary country music artist, is performing on the main stage. Now, I think this will draw a lot of people in because he has had so many hits over the years. I was looking at his... I mean, we saw him at the Palace a couple years ago. This guy has had so many hits that were crossover. Now, most of them happened in the 90s and early 2000s. But, I mean, he had Don't Take the Girl. That was a big hit. He had That's My Story and I'm Sticking to It. He had just so many hits.
Now, Don't Take the Girl, isn't that, wasn't that original sung by the original singer? What was him?
I don't know.
I think there was the original singer of the Don't Take the Girl. I can't remember who it is, though.
Well, I don't. We'll have to take a look here and see what happened. Yeah. But again, what do you make of Colin Ray and his performance years ago?
You know, I think he definitely knows how to get the crowd going because you know we was at the Palace Theater. I think it's Tim McGraw was the original "Don't Take the Girl," I believe.
Well, maybe it's a different song I'm thinking of here.
Oh, okay. But yeah, he knows how to get the crowd going. That's for sure.
See, I don't follow these things, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I have no... You know, it could be Engelbert Humperdinck down there. I wouldn't know. I know there's a song... he had Little Red Rodeo. That was a popular one. I Think About You. That was a popular one. That's My Story, as I said. What's the one he did with the you know... it's something about two people in some kind of relationship and time is going by. What is the song? Does anybody remember this song? 740-383-9944. Do we have any Colin Ray? Oh, we had Little Rock. Oh, Love Me. That was what it was called.
Love Me?
Oh, One Boy, One Girl. That's the one I'm thinking
of.
I knew Girl was in the title.
Yeah.
One Boy, One Girl.
Yeah.
But all those have been hits. Love Me, Little Rock, In This Life, One Boy, One Girl, all of them. Hits.
Yeah. I mean, he knows how to get the crowd going, that's for sure. When he was at the Palace Theater, he definitely knew how to... Because when we were there, everybody was just setting up, dancing and everything.
Oh, they get into it. And there was two others there that night, I believe. Who was Aaron Tippin? And I believe Jeremy Kershaw were part of that bill back in 2021. But we can't play the whole song for you, but here's a little bit of Colin Ray to Witcher Whistle. as we get into the big popcorn festival here. So this is the type of song you'll be hearing tonight on the main stage.
When I saw you buying Cosmo in a Hot Rod magazine, I said to myself, now there's a girl for me. And when I asked you to go for a ride, you stole my heart when you said, if I can drive. I said, how about some music? You said, you got any Merle? That's when I knew you were my kind of girl. William Faulkner and Martin Luther King. You said your favorite movie star would always be James Dean. And when we went to dinner, you wore blue jeans with your pearls. That's when I knew you were my kind of girl.
Well, that's on the main stage tonight at the Marion Popcorn Festival. She quoted William Faulkner and Martin Luther King. When you can work William Faulkner into a song, I like you.
I think it's, I'm telling you. I think the 90s and the 70s and all that and the 80s music was better than today's music.
And that's another one of his hits, My Kind of Girl. We didn't even talk about that one.
Yeah.
You wore pearls with your blue jeans with your pearls. I like that. Now, see, that's my kind of girl.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I like the pearls because you dress up, but you can still wear blue jeans.
It's because Ashley Williams wears pearls.
Well, I don't know if I like a girl who can pull that off. You know, wear blue jeans, because that's obviously not all that dressy, but still put a pair of pearls on, like Barbara Bush.
I mean, I think women look, I think they look cute in jeans.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody's doubting that people can look cute in jeans. I think what we're saying is that it's not dressy.
Well, no, but I think we hold girls at a higher standard, I think, sometimes.
For dressing?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Most men I see are in suits when they're running for office. So I don't see a man running around in jeans. I mean, our congressman, he doesn't wear a sports coat, but he still wears a tie, Jim Jordan.
Yeah. I think the formal dress code, if I ran for like mayor or whatever, I wouldn't wear suits and stuff.
You wouldn't win. I remember recent times, within the last 8 years, there was one candidate who thought he was going to come in khakis and a t-shirt, and people paid attention to that, and he lost big.
Yeah.
You've got to look like the position. As somebody once told me, if you come in looking like the audience, you're going to be sitting in the audience.
I think that needs to change, though. I think we stereotype too many things.
Well, I don't think it's a stereotype. I think what it is that we are paying money to come see you. We're giving you a job that we want you to be our representative. Represent us well. Don't show up to the mayor's convention in Ohio in some old t-shirt. I know with the money we're paying you, you can get a collar on that t-shirt.
I don't know. I think dress codes, it just needs to go away.
I don't think that's a dress code, though. I think that's just presenting yourself in a nice way, not coming. You know, if somebody walked in a room, an important room, and important dignitaries, and your guts hanging out from under your shirt, somebody's going to mention that, and they're going to think you're from some hillbilly town, and you're not going to get paid attention to as much.
I don't know. See, that's the problem. People just, they nitpick way too much these days.
No, but I'm saying, why can people not dress up for one day? We're not saying you have to dress every day of your life like that, but to get to work, why can't you? When I started in the work field, in the professional field, I worked at a bank, and the men had to wear a tie every day. And I did it. I didn't wear a tie at home every day, but I knew that was the job.
Well, I think a lot of that stuff's going. It's getting better now. You notice like people don't dress up as much at banks and stuff now.
No. I think those have become more dressed down jobs, but I certainly don't think politicians have, and I certainly don't think that people who are performing have, unless that's their gimmick to wear jeans and a t-shirt.
I mean, Mary Ellen spoke at the cookout. She says
she hates it.
She hates it
that
yeah.
people don't dress up anymore. And when she said she's disgusted with people who come to funerals dressed down, and church was her big one.
Yeah.
That people can't even dress up on Sunday morning anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I wore khakis and stuff at church.
Now see, so you under again? There you go.
I mean,
and when you went on a job interview recently, I saw you in khakis.
Yes, I work.
So you understand that there is some formality in life.
There is, but
I go on a job interview with your gut hanging out and sweatpants and see if you get the job.
You know.
In any event.
Yeah.
In any event. That's just a thing. Why were we talking about that? Oh, because the pearls with your blue jeans.
Yeah, blue.
Yeah, but that's off the clock. You wear blue jeans with your pearls. That's when I knew you were my kind of girl. That's what you like. All right. There was something. Oh, the other night we did an Exchange Club episode for television. And we finally got Matt and Abby together for the big debate on formality. Carrington and I were there, but honestly, during that segment, we might as well not have talked because it had nothing to do with us. Matt said you don't have to call older people Mr. or Mrs. Abby said you did. They were sitting right next to each other. We had the debate. By the way, it's already up on Facebook. So when this show is over today at 1 o'clock, you can go to Facebook and search Exchange Club Scott Spears, and you'll see it come up. You can watch that. It's a fun episode from beginning to end. It's not just about Mr. or Mrs. But you, who were really the only audience in the room, being the producer of the show, how do you think it went? First of all, the episode overall, then we'll get into the Abby-Matt thing.
I think the episode was really interesting. It was really I wouldn't say entertainment, but it was very good. Very good.
Why not entertainment? What would you call it?
Well, I mean, because it wasn't staged.
No, it wasn't fake.
Yeah.
But I think it was entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was a part of it, and I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long time coming for them to, you know, in that segment, for them to go back and forth with each other.
Well, I'm saying overall, how did you see the episode? From beginning to end, Carrington and I and Abby and Matt.
It was very good. Everybody talked. Everybody, people didn't wait until their turn, which is great because that's how shows should be. you didn't give them permission to talk, which that's good.
Yeah, I like it when I don't have to go, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? I told them beforehand, I said, listen, just jump in. And they did.
Yeah.
They were great.
It was a very good episode.
Now, there's something else I want to talk about this episode other than this whole Matt-Abby thing, but since that's a long time coming, as the person who witnessed that, what'd you make of it? And they went on for about 10 minutes. We finally had it out. And they both stuck to their opinions, but what do you think of the argument itself? They don't like me to call. Well, Abby doesn't like me to call it an argument. The disagreement.
Both of them have a good point of views. They certainly both. They did not back down from each other. They both.
No. I got to give them credit for that. They both really. That was the first time they'd met that night, and it really. They went at it.
They went at it, and I think it is. A good thing that they got it out of the way. That way, they know exactly what their opinions were. But I think both of them showed that hey, listen, this is my opinion and this is your opinion.
But now, be honest, because we all talked about who was going to win this debate, and we do during any debate, presidential, whatever. Who, in your opinion, won that debate?
I'm going to have to say probably Matt on that one.
I do, too. And you know what? It's nothing against Abby because I loved having her there. I enjoyed the whole thing. But I really think Matt won the event. But let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what about us people that don't have...
No, you have a Roku, right?
Right.
You could watch it.
But how am I going to do that?
Well, let me tell you. Here's how you do it. And now, do you know when you go to your Roku screen and it's got all those things there that you can click on?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see one that says YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay, click on that one. And then when you go in there, it's going to ask you to search. And what you search, Scott Spears Exchange Club, and it should come up. And you can watch the whole thing like a television show.
Okay.
That's all you got. Now, call me back later on and let me know. Don't leave the show right now.
Well, but, I'm not going to do it right now.
Right, but this afternoon, if you want to watch it, let me know that you get there, okay? And then call me back tonight.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Yep, that's all you got to do to watch it. Go to YouTube. It's on there already. and Exchange Club Scott Spears. Now, some things will come up, but just find the one where it's Matt and Abby and Carrington and I sitting around the table. But yeah, I do believe Matt won, and I sat there during the whole thing. At one point, Matt got the redneck in him. I could feel it.
I saw steam coming out of his ears.
Yes. Abby said, and Abby, I think, and again, I loved having her there. I want her to come back. I think it was a great group. But I think she made a critical error in a statement she made, making her point when she said, "It's you have to call somebody Mr. or Mrs. because of their knowledge, because as they grow older, you get more knowledge." And Matt had a great comeback for that, which was, I think I know more about social media than somebody who's older than me who did not grow up with it, so should they have to call me Mr. or Mrs. if we're talking about social media? And Abby did not really have a retort to that.
Yeah, that's basically what kind of killed her right there, I think.
So, yeah.
And it was a good comeback, yeah.
But she did very good. Yeah, she held to her gun.
I think both of them did wonderful. Again, I hope Abby comes back on the program as well.
Oh, I hope she does because yeah. I sent her a message the other night telling her how great she was because on subjects on the whole, she was great.
Absolutely.
She gave her opinion, and that's the group I really want. If we could get that group for an hour every week to do that, I mean, people would watch every single week because they're all very talented people. I felt like I didn't have to do much. All I had to do was sit there and moderate that thing. But Carrington, being 22 years old, and Matt being 19, and me being 27, and Abby being, you know, her age. I don't want to give out people's age. But I just, and everybody said the same thing when it was over. That flew by. And it flew by because we were having fun. And nobody agreed on everything. And again, I'm not saying that Abby is a loser in that debate. She made some very good points. Not at all.
I don't think anybody was a loser.
No, nobody was a loser. But I just think that Matt... Here's what I always said would happen. I thought it would be hard for Abby to have an argument with Matt because her kids are his age, some of them. And that's hard. To think you're arguing with your kids like that. But Abby certainly made her points, and you know what? I have to agree with a lot of Abby's points that she made. That I do think people have advanced knowledge when they're older. Now, not on social media always, but they have advanced knowledge about things that kids today would have no knowledge of, like phone booths and phone books and how to look things up in a library, and how to get information outside the internet. So that would be advanced knowledge on their point. I just think the way the television caught it, it went more toward Matt. And then Matt also threw in the line, well, Mary Ellen Withrow agrees with me. So I think it was just that. And I think, and I could see, I know when Matt, it's not angry. I've never seen Matt angry.
I love that line when he says, oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Mary Ellen Withrow agrees with me. That was brilliant.
Yeah, life experience is what Abby said.
Yeah.
But it was, which again is a little different than what Matt was talking about with internet. But again, no winners or losers. And I give them both great credit for doing that on television. I mean, I think they both knew it was going to happen. I mean, it had to happen.
Yeah.
But they were great. They got it. And by the way, on every other subject, they agreed on a lot of things as well. It's not like it was a complete disagreement on everything. But I just think that Matt was highly prepared to defend. He's into that thing for some reason. It's very important for him to people say Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah, you know, go back to when you mentioned the phone booth. Did you know there's a pay phone in Marion?
There was one by Kroger, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw that the other day.
I believe there's one at Kroger.
Oh my goodness gracious! So I didn't think we had those around anymore.
Well, yeah, and again, I'm not giving my opinion on whether you should say Mr. or Mrs. or not. I mean, to me, it doesn't. You don't have to call me Mr. I don't like it, but I don't like Carrington and I both said it doesn't mean anything to us. Call us whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
I mean, Abby says the same thing in school. She says, "Call me Abby."
Well, yeah, but I think with me, so many people know me from the radio, and they call me Scott, who I've never met them. Well, they don't come up and say Mr. Spears, because I don't come on the radio every morning and say, well, good morning, this is Mr. Spears. No, it's Scott. Hey, this is Scott, along with you for the ride today. So it would seem silly to do that. But
Well, you know, I was bringing this little story up. You know, I was at the hospital yesterday to get a test done. And they said, Mr. Kraft. I said, no, just call me Sean.
So there you go.
Yeah, so there you go.
Oh, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with formality. I call my doctor's doctor.
Yeah.
I call certain people Mr. or Mrs. if I've known them for a long time. It's situational for me. I called all my teachers Mr. or Mrs. But Abby was great. And God bless you, Abby. I know you're out there listening this morning, and I appreciate that. You got to come back with us an hour a week. So please try. I know you have a busy life, but try to free up your hour because that was great. And I even think she had fun the other night as well.
I think so, too.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Sean, what Kroger is you talking about?
It's the one on 95.
Next time you're out there, go up to that phone, pick it up, and see what happens.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe it doesn't work.
There's no dial tone. It don't work.
Oh, it don't work. Okay, yeah. So it's just a prop.
Oh, it doesn't work?
No, it don't work.
We just have that there for show?
Evidently. That's probably the last one. They're probably going to make it something sightseeing in Marion.
Well, wait till you see this episode. And again, I don't want Abby, because I know she's out there listening, I don't want her to say that she's a loser in this debate. She wasn't a loser. She made very good points. She was perfect in the episode, entertaining as could be. And she hadn't been on for 4 months, something like that. Matt, I think, has something about that, and he just came prepared. And he just, you'd have to watch it if you watch it with an unbiased eye. And I'll tell you something else. Abby did not go at Matt like she goes at me when we disagree. Like, you'll see a difference, which I knew there would be. Like, before the episode started, Abby was called, because I hadn't seen her for a few months. She was calling me, you know, some names there before we started. But I have to admit, I was saying a few things to her as well. But I think we just have a different argumentative relationship than she's going to have with somebody she just met. Also, who's, you know, her kid's age.
Yeah. But you and her just had to clash just for the heck of it.
Well, I don't know if it's an honesty, but that's just always been our relationship for 4 or 5 years that we've known each other. Abby and I have a very unique relationship in that we can say horrible things to each other, but yet I know she'd be there for me in a second. I would be there for her in a second. She shows up and does these shows for me. I greatly appreciate it. She listens every morning. I know if I was in a bind, she'd be there. So, but we're not going to be normal people when we're around each other. I'm going to make fun of something she's doing. She's going to call me a nasty name. But nobody takes it personally, and it's fine the next day.
Right. If you throw something in the trash and it doesn't get in the trash, she's going to let you know pick that up.
Exactly. And you know, that's what it is. It's the little things in life that we pick on. I can't even remember what I was picking on with her. Oh, I picked on her clothes the other night. And I wasn't, you know, of course I'm not serious. But she came in wearing blue jeans and with holes in her blue jeans and a white top. And I just kind of mentioned to her, I said, did you know you were going to be on television? And that kind of wound her up.
Did you see Hillary Clinton win blue jeans?
No, and see, there you go. But Abby looked fine. I'm not saying she looked bad at all. She looked fine. And I was just giving her a hard time. But, of course, she's not going to let me give her a hard time. She's going to come right back at me and tell me I can't use the language she used. But it was interesting.
Yeah, Charlie always talked about Hillary Clinton and her hairdo and her pantsuits, I think.
Yeah. Oh, and then we got into a conversation about chewing other people's gum, but I'm going to save that. We're not going to bring that up. We only got 6 minutes left here, but I'm going to bring that up when Matt comes in.
I hope neither one of you wanted to chew somebody else's gum.
No, I threw up.
Well, no, listen, we're saving that for 10 o'clock. Just pay it, because Matt will be here at 10, and we'll discuss that further. So, but thanks for calling.
Okay.
Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You want to hear a little more Colin Ray? He'll be at the Palace. He'll be at the Popcorn Festival tonight. Let's see. Here's a little more Colin Ray. Let's even get to another point in this. We can do 45-second spurts. So we'll do another 45-second spurt here. Maybe.
Eat of a different drum. The funny thing is that I hear the same one. We both like the color.
kiss, but I wasn't quick enough. I guess while I was thinking you were reading my mind, 'cause you wrapped your arms around me and you pressed your lips to mine. You sent my head a spinning just like a tilted world. That's when I knew you were my kind of girl. You sent my head a spinning just like a tilted world. That's when I knew you were my kind of girl.
There you go, Colin Ray at the Popcorn Festival tonight on the main stage. You sent my head a spinning just like a tilt-a-whirl. I don't think I ever had that. Have you ever had that?
Oh, no.
What does that mean?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it's probably, you know, she was making him, you know.
You say it like he did. You sent my head a spinning, just like a tilt-a-whirl.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like vertigo. I had vertigo. I had vertigo one time. Was that what that is?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Hold on, we got to play the beginning of that a quick, because it's speaking to clothing, which is why we're on this whole subject. This is our big Colin Ray push tonight. I hope the Popcorn Festival appreciates we're doing this for them.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure they don't, but okay, here we go.
When I saw you buying Cosmo in a Hot Rod magazine, I said to myself, now there's a girl for me. And when I asked you to go for a ride, you stole my heart when you said, if I can drive. I said, how about some music? You said, you got any Merle? That's when I knew you were my kind of girl. Faulkner and Martin Luther King. You said your favorite movie star would always be James Dean. And when we went to dinner, you wore blue jeans with your pearls. That's when I knew you were my kind of girl. You marched to the...
You wore blue jeans with your pearls. I love that.
We already know.
That's all I need to know. And good morning to one of our longtime listeners out there this morning, Young Kason, smart kid, good kid. He's supposed to come in here one day and sit in with me and co-host this show. Uh-huh. Really put it on the right track.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, Kason, you're always welcome in here anytime, and hopefully one day we'll get that together.
Now, but Kason,
huh?
Who's he?
Abby's son.
Oh, Abby's son.
Youngest son.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have fun with that one day. But honest to God, don't you want some? That's a look, you know, because you're a little formal with your pearls on, but then you got your jeans on. And you know what else I love about that? I love somebody who drives. You know,
if
they want to drive, knock. You know, I don't mind. I drive here, obviously. I drive everywhere else in life. But you know what? Driving is not important to me. Like, I'm not gonna yank the steering wheel out of somebody's hand.
You'd rather be like driving Miss Daisy, sitting in the back seat.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. Because in the car, I feel like normally I'm trying to tell the person where to go. Like, okay, we need to turn here, we need to turn here, we need to get over here. And I can't do that when I'm driving. You know, why just let that person sit over there like third base?
Well, if you're driving, you just drive right there.
Well, no, locally I'll drive. I've driven you around locally.
Very rarely.
Well, why is that? Because you pull in behind me in my driveway and I'm blocked in.
No. I can pull over to the side. You're like, ah.
This hour's already gone. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness.
It's gone. Yeah. All right, Buckeye Guy's official prediction for the Youngstown game tomorrow, 49-10, OSU to Youngstown. And we're coming back with Pastor Steve Whitaker. And then 10 a.m., chewing gum of other people. Oh, my goodness. Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, and myself at 10:15 this morning. Pay attention. Stay tuned.
I'm going to get mad. And so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most